I see everyone back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be taking them and turning back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Our text is John 1, 1 through 5. John 1, 1 through 5. We're discussing today the person of Jesus Christ. We need to know exactly who Jesus Christ is in order for us to be able to have our proper faith, our proper belief, a proper understanding of what we are and who we are as Christians. We need to understand and recognize who Jesus is so that we may see Him and know Him as our King. We need to understand and know Him as our Lord, as our God, and as our Savior. We're going to discuss that further tonight. We talked about this morning Jesus Christ and His relationship to God. How that He is God, was God, and ever will be God. He is the Word, the second person of the Godhead. We examined that this morning. And I want us to look now at His relationship to the galaxies. I want us to see Jesus as our Creator. Notice verse 3. In verse 3 it's stated here, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, this text gives us further information about the identity of Jesus. It tells us that He is the Creator of the universe. He was there. He created the entire universe. He created our galaxy, all other galaxies, and everything that in them is. He created it. He created this earth. He was there in the very beginning. Now, one thing we need to understand is that there are certain requirements that one needs to meet in order to create the universe. The requirement, one of these things, is that one must have tremendous power and be greater than the universe. And we find that in Jesus Christ. Notice with me Colossians 1 and verse 16. Keep a finger there in John chapter 1. We're going to be there the rest of the evening. But I want us to notice something here in Colossians 1 and verse 16. What does Paul say here? He says, by Him were all things created. Who is the Him? If we look in our context, we learn that the Him mentioned here is Jesus Christ. By Him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth. Friends, the fact that Christ created all the galaxies does not exclude God the Father from creating them also, but rather emphasizes the deity of Jesus, as we talked about this morning, and the oneness He has with God. Turn with me, again, keeping your finger in John 1. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning. I want us to understand something here. Notice with me the first three verses. There's something significant I want to point out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Friends, we have in the first three verses of God's holy word the three distinct personalities of the Godhead mentioned. Did you catch them all? God the Father is in verse 1, God the Spirit in verse 2, and God the Word in verse 3. When it says that God said, we see Jesus Christ. He was the Word, was He not? John chapter 1, 1 through 3, 1 through 5, we see Him mentioned as the Word in those three times in the first five verses. Again in verse 14, we see it again in 1 John, and again in Revelation 19. He was the Word. God said, that's Christ. That's Jesus. We see Christ, we see Jesus in other passages there in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26. All of these verses show us in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, it shows some of the inseparableness of the Father and the Son in the creation. God here speaks of God the Father and said, speaks of God the Word, the Son. And so Jesus would meet all the requirements needed to create the universe. He's eternal. He possesses all the power of God. And so He is our Creator. Our text here also does much to refute evolution and those that teach that Christ is a created being. Well, how does this refute evolution? Well, what does evolution state? One of the complex theories that goes along with evolution is the Big Bang theory. I have here a pen. You know what the Big Bang theory states? Is that something as large as the universe, as large as the earth, as large as the sun, as large as our galaxy, came from something about as big as the point of that pen. Now, one of science's own laws says that matter can be neither created nor destroyed. Now, think about that. If all this came from something about as big as a period, there's a serious flaw in that law of science, is there not? But we learn of our beginning here. Jesus created us. He created the earth. God said in Genesis chapter 1. You see, the fact that Christ is the creator of all things defeats evolution once and for all. Explaining that the universe is a result of a great creator makes sense. How much does that Big Bang theory make? How much sense does it make? Makes no sense. It would take greater faith to believe something like evolution or the Big Bang theory than it does to believe in God. There's no evidence to support those theories. When people look and point to these, quote, these missing links, every missing link that has ever been produced has been proven to be a farce. The one doesn't exist. It's not there. Now, what about those that say that Jesus was a created being or is a created being? Well, let's think about that for just a minute. If Christ created the universe, how was He created? How can something that was created create something else that is as large and wonderful as the universe? How? You can't explain that. Jesus could not have been created. He's eternal. And we discussed that this morning. The only explanation is that He is eternal and that He is God Himself. Now we may ask a question. We may sometimes wonder as to why the universe, why we were even created. Look with me again at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Here we find our answer. Colossians 1 and verse 16. We've already read the first part of the verse. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now notice the last part of this verse. Here is why you and I are here. Why we were created. Why the earth was created. All things were created by Him. And notice that last phrase. And for Him. They were created, we were created by Him and for Him. Friends, we are here for His joy, for His pleasure, and for His blessings. And as such, should we not live for Him? Should we not live for Jesus? We are to do just that. We were created for that reason, to bring glory to His name. That's why we're here. That is our purpose in life. And friends, if we want the greatest and most blessed fulfillment in life, we must live for Him. Because we were created for Him. That's why we're here. And Paul states as much in Philippians 1 and verse 21. Read that with me. Philippians 1 and verse 21. This is a verse that we often quote, that we often have in our memories. Paul says here, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul's in prison. He's facing death. And he says here the reason for our being. For to me to live is Christ. That's our purpose in life. Is to live for Christ. And so we see his relationship to the galaxies as our Creator. Now let's look at his relationship to the gospel. How is Christ related to the gospel? Let's notice John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John writes here, "In him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Our last two verses here of our text, verses 4 and 5, focus especially on Christ's relationship to the gospel. This is the purpose of him being incarnated, of him coming to the earth in the flesh. You see, John starts his gospel account with the fact that Jesus is God. He moves on to the fact that Jesus is the Creator. And now he's going to tell us about Jesus the Savior. He is God. He is the Creator. He is our Savior. When we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when we recognize that Jesus is God and that He is the Creator, friends, it shows us what a great Savior we have in Christ. As we talked about this morning, God owed us nothing. Christ didn't have to come to this earth. He didn't have to die on the cross. He didn't owe us that. But a verse we so often quote, a verse that we so dearly love, John 3 and verse 16, tells us why he did. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and that believeth there includes obedience, should not perish but have everlasting life." Do we really take that to heart? Let's examine verse 4 a little deeper. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Friends, we find here life and light. Life and light are the opposite of something else. Friends, life and light are just the opposite of death and darkness. Man is absolutely dependent upon Christ, whether he realizes it or not. How is that? Well, friends, we're dependent upon Him physically because He created us. Remember the verse? Everything was made by Him. Nothing was made without Him. Verse 3 tells us that. It's paraphrasing there. Nothing was made without Him. Christ the Creator gives us physical life. Christ the Savior gives spiritual life. Notice with me John 10 and verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. Christ speaking says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Friends, the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was so that he might give life to the soul that is dead in trespasses and sins, as we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. That was his purpose in coming to this earth. We read in 1 John 5 and verse 11 that God hath given us eternal life. Where is it found? John tells us. And this life is in His Son. You see, friends, the world lies in great darkness because of sin. It's a world of darkness, but Christ can bring light to the world when He is received. Staying in the book of John, turn over to John chapter 8. Notice with me verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Friends, what do we know about light? What do we know about sunlight? We know that without it, things cannot grow. And if things do not grow, things die. What does that mean to me? Friends, without the light, without Christ, that spiritual light, there will be no life or growth at all. There will be no life or growth without the light of Jesus Christ. We must have light. Notice verse 5 now, John chapter 1. The light shineth in darkness. We're given the location here. I want us to notice first the word shineth. The Greek literally means to cause to appear, give light, shine. Consider the meaning to appear here for just a moment. We want to consider that because for the appearance of Jesus on earth, that was necessary for him to shine in darkness with salvation. His appearance speaks of his incarnation, his reason for being here. Notice that the light shines in darkness. Friends, darkness here denotes the world. It's what it stands for. The darkness being the result of sin. When you walk into a dark room, what do? You turn on the light. Why did Christ come to this earth? To bring light. To give us the gospel so that we might have hope. Darkness is where the light is needed the most. An important practical lesson here for us is that as Christ shined in the darkness, we too should shine in darkness. Too often, when in the world where darkness abounds, a Christian's light does not shine. Yet, friends, is that not where we are to shine our brightest? Matthew 5 and verse 16 describes the followers of Christ as lights, and we, as His followers, are to shine where the light is needed. In the world, it's easy to let our lights shine when we're here in the assembly, is it not? We're surrounded by other Christians. It's somewhat harder when we're in the world. When we're walking out there. But friends, that's where the light's needed the most. We as Christians have that responsibility. Continuing there in verse 5, we learn that the darkness comprehended it, that is, the light, not. You see, the teaching of Jesus was not well received in this world, was it? We know that because they put him on a cross. He was not well received. And what he represents still does not go over well with most people in the world today. Now, that does not speak so well of mankind, does it? As man continues to reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But friends, there is not an act that is filled with greater folly, greater error than the act of rejecting the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the Word. The rejection of Jesus has often tried to cloak itself in robes of intellect and wisdom. But Romans 1 and verse 22 gives us a commentary on such a disguise. Paul says there, but professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, the world of academia today tries to tell us that there is no God, there is no Jesus, that he could not have done all that is said that he has said to have done. These are learned men, so to speak. What does Paul say of them? Professing to be wise, they became foolish. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, Paul says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. Friends, the most foolish thing in the world is the rejection of the cross. It's not the preaching of the cross that is foolishness, but the rejection of the message of the cross that is foolishness. Would we reject it? Would we tread the cross underfoot? make his dying in vain. When we look at this particular part of verse 5, we'll see a word here that is translated comprehended. This word has wide meaning in the Greek. It not only carries the meaning of rejection, but it can also carry the meaning of overcoming something. And when we couple that with the word not in our text, it means the darkness was unable to overcome it. That is, the darkness was unable to overcome the light of Christ. The light and darkness came into bitter, decisive conflict, and the darkness could not prevail. The world didn't prevail. Satan did not prevail. In either meaning, the word indicates failure in men regarding their attitude towards the light. Friends, rejecting Christ in unbelief is great, total, and utter failure on the part of man. For Christ did not fail. He did just what he said he was going to do. And friends, great failure will always occur when one tries to overcome the light. See, men thought, Satan thought, that they had put the light out when they nailed Jesus to the cross. But friends, man, Satan, and man did not account for who Christ was and that it was necessary for him to die on the cross. Man did not account for the resurrection which gave darkness a devastating blow from which it will never recover. And it will never survive. Friends, the light will never be overcome. Sin will not defeat it, and hell will never overpower it. Who is Jesus Christ? He is our Savior. That's why He came to this earth. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, we have striven today to examine the person of Jesus Christ. Who is He? Friends, we need to realize that Jesus is and was God. We must realize that He is our Creator. And friends, last but certainly not least, Jesus is our Savior. He came to this earth, in His own words, to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, that includes you and I. Every person to ever walk the face of this earth. That's why He came. To give us His gospel so that you and I would have the opportunity to be saved. And so we've discussed the person of Christ. We've looked at His relationship to God. We've looked at His relationship to the galaxies and His relationship to the gospel. Friends, Jesus, without a doubt, is God. He is Creator. He is Savior. Friends, are you here this morning, or this evening rather, in need of a Savior? Are you lost in sin? Are you lost in that world of darkness, groping about for a light? Friends, the light can be found in Jesus Christ. Would you allow Him to shine in your life? Do you believe in the person of Jesus Christ? That He is God, that He is Creator, and that He is your Savior. Would you accept Him as such? If you would, friends, would you repent of sin? Confess His name before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of those sins. Allow His light to shine in you. Well, friends, are you here this evening? Having at one time possessed that light, but you've lost it. Would you have it once more? Would you allow Jesus Christ once more to shine in your life? Would you come home right now while we stand and while we sing?